This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is from our episode about noise and hearing. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. A lot of us listen to music, audiobooks, podcasts on our headphones, a personal bubble of entertainment, or we listen to stuff to block out other noises. Over time, though, headphone listening can harm our hearing. In 2015, the World Health Organization released a study with the alarming finding that almost 50% of adolescents and young adults, 1.1 billion people globally, were at risk of hearing loss due to noise exposure, in large part because of headphones. How much listening is safe? Liz Tong looked into it.
In 1998, Brian Flager was a budding audiologist doing his clinical rotation at Boston City Hospital.
And there was a young man, a 15-year-old, who came into the clinic to get his hearing tested after he failed a school hearing screening.
So Brian gets to work examining the kid. And right away, he sees what looks like the culprit, a massive plug of earwax in his right ear.
And so it was very obvious, like, oh, well, that's why he didn't pass. And the other ear was clear, so I sent him over to the nurses just for them to flush his ear.
Afterwards, Brian decided to test the patient's hearing again. As it turned out, the ear that had the plug of wax in it, his right ear, now had perfectly normal hearing. His left ear, though, the one without earwax,
had a hearing loss that's consistent with long-term noise exposure resulting in a permanent hearing loss from noise.
Brian was mystified. What he was seeing was the kind of hearing loss you'd expect in factory workers who'd spent years around noisy equipment, or hunters who spent their weekends around the explosions of gunshots. But this was a 15-year-old kid living in Boston. It had to be something else.
And so asking him, well, are you around a lot of high-level sound? He was like, what do you mean? And I said, do you listen to music a lot? He was like, well, yeah. And I said, how do you listen to it? He said, on my headphones. Do you have them with you? Yeah. And he pulls it out.
It being a Discman, which the kid used all the time to listen to rap. Remember, this was 1998, 3 years before the release of the iPod.
I said, well, how loud do you listen? He said, well, not all the way up. And he showed me, and this is where it's the old dial style volume control, and it's like a 0 to 10. He had it between 9 and 10.
Light bulb moment. A Discman and headphones had caused the same level of hearing loss as years of work around dangerously loud machinery. And the only thing that had protected this kid, in his right ear at least, was the plug of earwax that Brian had just removed.
And I said, so that's kind of high. He said, all right, well, if that's too loud, how loud can I listen?
Brian paused. It was a good question, one that he didn't have the answer to. For people who spent hours listening to music on their headphones, how loud was too loud? So Brian decided to find out. In fact, he made that question the subject of his PhD dissertation. To find an answer, he gathered together a bunch of CD players and a bunch of headphones, and he tested them to see how loud they got. He developed his own testing protocol and then compared his results with safety standards developed by OSHA, or the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, regarding safe noise levels in workplace settings. Here's what he found.
All of them had the capacity to be used at too high a level for too long a period of time, such that it would result in risk to someone developing a noise-induced hearing loss from using headphones.
Now, danger levels are measured according to the noise dose level, a combination of how loud a sound is and how long you're exposed to it. Brian's results varied based on which CD player and headphones he was testing, but overall, he found, it didn't take much to exceed safe sound dose levels. He finished with an official recommendation. If you're using a Discman with headphones, you should be spending no more than 1 hour per day listening at 60% volume. Brian published his dissertation in a journal called Ear and Hearing in 2004, 6 years after that 15-year-old boy first showed up in his office. And to Brian's shock, his study blew up. Not only because Brian was one of the first to investigate this question, but because by then, the phenomenon that was the iPod had been released, which meant that way more people than ever were now listening to music on the go. Of course, Brian's study didn't include the iPod, but that didn't matter. It had captured the zeitgeist. His study appeared in newspapers, on the news. He was interviewed for a Rolling Stone article alongside Pete Townsend from The Who, who blamed his own hearing loss not on his years of live performing, but rather on listening to studio recordings too loud on his headphones. And in 2005, Brian received his greatest honor, his study being featured on The Late Show with David Letterman.
Now listen to this. According to a new study, iPod headphones may cause hearing damage.
Here
now with some tips on how to protect your hearing.
They bring out a respected audiologist who offers some safety tips on listening.
To protect your hearing, only listen to music at 60% of the maximum volume. Limit iPod use to 30 minutes per day. And consult a doctor if you experience any ringing.
The punchline, as he's finishing up, fake blood spurting out of both of his ears.
Tunes in complete safety. I'm Dr. Kenneth Sutton.
He's bleeding. His ears are kind of bleeding.
My joke is, well, my career peaked like a year after I finished my PhD, because not me, but my work was being spoofed on Letterman.
So the revolution started by the iPod had elevated Brian and his research to the national, even the global stage. In fact, the testing protocol he'd developed for a study ended up being turned into international standards for how to test headphones. Brian says the study's idea of measuring safety according to sound dosages, as opposed to just loudness, also gained traction. But with the iPod and the advent of streaming music in general, music files were getting processed and compressed in new ways, which had the effect of reducing the variation of volume levels in any given track.
Anything that is streamed, it is all almost exactly the same average level, because the range from the softest sound in the music to the loudest sound in the music is actually a really narrow window.
You don't get the kind of sudden spikes of loudness that you used to get with CD players.
It actually makes it really easy for us to measure the sound levels, because they're all really similar.
The good news is that devices and headphones today aren't as dangerous as they were back in the 90s and before.
The CD players were louder than iPods, iPhones, or Android devices now. They're actually quite a bit lower. They can be used for a lot longer, so the exposures can be pretty high, but the levels that they produce are not capable of causing an injury after one really loud song you listen to. There would have to be something like a horrible malfunction of a device for it to result in actually like a sound exposure high enough to do damage.
But that doesn't mean they're safe. Remember, it's not just about volume. It's also about dose, how long you're listening to something. And hearing damage, just like sun damage to our skin or the effects of smoking on our lungs, is cumulative.
So if we live long enough, we're all going to develop hearing loss. The blood flow to our ears is actually not good enough to maintain really good hearing over our entire lifetime. That part of the body, the inner ear, is very greedy. It requires a lot of oxygen in order for it to work. It requires actually a lot of energy for it to do the job that it does. And because it's so metabolically active, it produces a lot of waste product.
And that waste product needs to be cleaned up. But if you're exposing yourself to loud, if not deafening sounds,
over time, the ear can be overworked. It can build up its waste product, and that waste product may not be cleared out as effectively as it needs to be. And that builds up and it starts to kill off some of these very sensitive, very specialized hair cells. If those cells die, these specialized hair cells, if they die, they're replaced along that membrane in our inner ear with scar tissue. The scar tissue maintains the whole system, kind of keeps it all together, but it doesn't contribute to this active process that is hearing. And so because those hair cells don't regenerate, they're not replaced with another hair cell when they die, we lose incrementally hair cells as those are overworked. And so lifetime wear and tear can be accelerated when the ear itself is overworked.
In other words, it isn't the sound itself that's blowing out our hearing. It's not like a big sound wave sweeps through and immediately destroys all our little hair cells. Rather, it's the chemical reaction Brian just described that kills them off, accomplishing, in some cases, a lifetime's worth of wear and tear in just a few months or years. And this isn't a rare thing that only happens to a small percentage of people. In fact, in 2022, a group of researchers working with the World Health Organization released a study looking at potential hearing loss among young people worldwide from two sources, loud concerts or events and headphone use. And what they found was pretty staggering. Here's one of the authors, audiologist and epidemiologist Lauren Dillard.
So we've showed that about a quarter of young people, 24%, are listening to personal listening devices at a risky level, and about half, or 48%, were regularly attending loud entertainment venues. So we used these two estimates alongside the estimate of the global population of individuals aged 12 to 34 years to estimate that over 1 billion individuals could be at risk for hearing loss from loud sound exposure.
And this wasn't the first time researchers reached that number either. A previous analysis in 2015 by the World Health Organization had come to the same conclusion, which is part of what led the WHO to launch a hearing safety initiative designed to answer that same question that Brian's 15-year-old patient had posed years before. How loud is too loud? Lauren told me that in her study, they judged too loud based on global recommendations of occupational noise exposure limits, which in this case was 80 decibels for 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. About as loud as a garbage disposal or a busy street. Now, it's very difficult for lay people to measure exactly how many decibels are coming out of their headphones. But in 2019, the World Health Organization released international standards for audio device manufacturers in an effort to standardize safe listening. Standards they developed with help and input from industry players. A few examples: volume control systems that are more easily accessible and easier to configure, parental control systems, and headphone safety mode, which reduces the volume once you start hitting the danger zone. And just recently, they also released new standards for gaming that include similar measures. Messages to let gamers know when the volume is too loud or they're hitting their maximum safe dosage of sound. And that's just the beginning. Brian says some people may have noticed that they already get notifications on their phones when they're listening to something too loud. But upcoming safety features, based on WHO standards, should be getting dropped any day now by major manufacturers.
What we can do is look for information that's coming from our phone. It's going to be released in new operating system updates that says, hey, you've used up about 20% of your total noise dose for today. You've got this many more hours you can listen if you continue listening this way.
That story was reported by Liz Tong.